Flashback Twin Cities, Tom Osmond here, Saturday afternoon. Kyle, good to see you here.
Good to see you.
You know, it's not been a bright week in the news, and, you know, looking at things to talk about today, we have actually a great guest today, Brian Lambert, who's going to be talking about all things media, past and present, in just a few minutes here, but I was looking at some stories to talk about today. I looked for these things that happened on this day back in history, and I found a piece today that made me think a little bit, which is tough for me sometimes. But, Kyle, you're a video game guy, correct?
Yes,
I
am.
You are.
Yeah.
You know, this is an epidemic. Young men and women playing video games, wasting away their lives. You'd think this is kind of a new phenomenon, right? I don't get scared of technology. I think technology you need to embrace. You need to learn how to do it. I'll be honest with you. One of the few things in the world that scares me is video games. That is one of the few things. I look at these video games, and two things frighten me. One, I'm afraid I'd enjoy it, and then you wouldn't be able to find me. I'd be trying to, you know, complete it. Because I had a Nintendo, and I had older video game systems, and I spent hours on nice days like today playing video games. This is not a new problem. I look at these video games, and you're in a cartoon, more or less, in the suspended animation world, and I just don't know if I'd actually be able to figure it out, and I would be upset with myself not knowing how to do it. But this is not a new thing. There used to be a period of time when you have to go to Chuck E. Cheese or Showbiz and actually pop quarters into machines. And this was an epidemic that was going to ruin kids, and we were going down heck in a handbasket. So October 83, 32 years ago, this is a good company, hard-hitting piece of journalism, the video game epidemic.
There about video games, and what we did was we asked some Twin Cities people what they thought about video games. Are they harmless, or could they cause harm to the younger generation? Here's what they said.
I enjoy playing the game because I don't know, it's fun, and when they're like just fun trying to get the things and killing them and stuff.
The main thing with my son or daughter, God, especially my son, wants to do is play video games. It's always, Dad, give me a quarter, give me a dollar, and you know how that goes.
I don't think it really harms them. I think they maybe spend a little more money on them, but as far as harming, no, I don't think so. I think it keeps them out of trouble.
Strengthens their mental agility. It gives them the ability to calculate things and to use their brain a little bit more than they normally would playing games like Monopoly and things like that. So I think it's a positive vein to everything that a child does. It teaches them how to grow a little bit.
A lot of kids I know are skipping school just to go out to the arcades and play video games all the time, waste their money, rip off money from their parents just to play them. I definitely think something should be done about it.
I get my money, the money from my allowance and from mowing lawns, doing odd jobs.
I get the money from my allowance.
Well, it's kind of wasting money, but I think it's fun.
I like playing the games.
Yes.
Also, when I get mad, I like coming here and blowing up things. Gets a little pressure off.
And it seems every week there is a new video game where you can blow up something new. And sometimes mom...
And you know what? There's a video game expert. If you want to see this video, it's at tcmedianow.com. There's this guy, and he's a video game expert on psychology of video games. I don't know what his credibility is, but he talks for about 20 minutes on this segment about apparently it causes Alzheimer's. And oh, yeah, there he is. Our guest actually walked in, too, by the way.
Brian that Lambert. Guy there.
He is...
Oh, my God.
He's a school psychologist. Yeah. He's got the video game system under control. He knows what's going on.
Those kids in that video
are all in prison.
How many of them are in prison?
All in prison, right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
You know, I'll be honest with you. If you see the video, there's a couple kids. I haven't slept well in about 10 years. I think that these kids had worse night's sleep than I did. There's some Dracula eyes on these kids playing Frogger. It sounded like, you know, you've been to a casino. I mean, just in passing, correct?
Yeah, I just walked through, yes.
It sounds like the casino, you know, the old arcade game. Non-stop bells, whistles.
That's probably where they are. They're at, you know, Grand, you know, Mille Lacs or someplace, you know.
Well, you got to keep just shuffling, you know, the quarters in front of the arcades.
I'm sure it was a long-term plot by the casino. They're probably, you know, funding the money for Pac-Man.
And if someone would know, it'd be Brian Lambert. Brian Lambert at MinPost, minpost.com. He's got...
Hi, Tom. Sorry. Sorry, I'm late.
And if you, unfortunately, I wish you could see Brian. He's got his Making America Great hat on. Just walked in. All right. You didn't mention
the comb-over thing.
Yeah, well. You know, there's a lot of things to talk about, and I have this list here. One being, I know that you've been glued to the set watching these presidential debates. Now, we have the Democrat one comes up in 2 weeks, or how far away are we from that one now?
When is that, the 16th?
Is that going to be exciting? Is that going to be a fun one to watch?
No, won't be anywhere near as much fun as Republicans. Nothing can beat the Republicans. This is good stuff. This is one huge load of sick fun is what this Republicans.
Keep in mind, we have
it's bipartisan audience. I'm just saying these things go back and forth. Sometimes it's the Democrats making kind of circus-like noises. Now it's the Republicans' turn.
But I asked people in my contemporary circles who I think are pretty well into politics. We actually, I made a joke last night to some people. I said, "Well, you got Marvin O'Malley, and someone I know who I think is pretty up into politics. Who's that?
Yeah.
Well, he's running for president."
Yeah,
him and
his numbers might be down there with Scott Walker's right now, but he is running. You know, he has no chance. Interesting media connection with him is that he was the model for the mostly corrupt mayor of Baltimore in The Wire, because he was the mayor during the big drug outburst.
Are you saying politicians might have some connections to some unscrupulous activity?
Quite often. Yeah. And, anytime that somebody brings it up, The Wire, you remember The Wire? They don't know Martin O'Malley, but you know, remember The Wire? Yeah, remember the crook? That was him.
Right. You know, I watched the Republican debate, and at first I thought it was going to be Trump all the time, because every question somehow was around Trump. You'd go to Trump, cut to Trump, then they kind of forgot about him for about an hour, and then they would come back to him. I think then they liked Carly better, who, according to Trump, is a very beautiful woman.
Now. Yeah, right. I think he had some mist on the screen he was looking at, and then he kind of cleaned it off, got out a little, cleaner, and then, wow! It's a good-looking gal.
And you watched the whole thing, right?
I've watched every second of both of them. I mean, it's fascinating.
You're loving it.
I mean, it is, it is beyond any circus that either party's put on in my lifetime. I mean, back with Barry Goldwater running, this wasn't nearly as much fun.
Well, they did hardly any televised debates. Did they do a televised debate between Goldwater and Johnson? I don't think they did. I think the next one was Ford and Carter almost 15 years later was the next televised debate they did. Now we do one every other week.
I think you're right, then. Yeah.
And the other...
By the way, if anybody's out there and has Netflix, there was recently this documentary out, Best of Enemies, with the famous Gore Vidal, William Buckley.
Yes.
That is a great film.
It is great.
Really worth watching.
I saw that, and that is good stuff. This debate, though, I won't even call it a debate, because you don't have any... You don't really have discussion.
No, it's the debate rules.
It's a meet and greet between, 17 people or 10 people. And occasionally Trump will get a chance to make a quip to someone, but it's 16 against Trump. And is this?
Well, it's part of it is just reading the polls and showbiz. I mean, if you're CNN and you're putting this thing on, the last one anyway, and who do the people want to talk about? The leader. He's for like it or not, he's the leader. So the questions go to him or they're about him. It kind of makes sense. I mean, how much does anybody want to know about Mike Huckabee? Not too much.
Yeah. Everyone's trying to get their thing, and Huckabee kind of took his position on a recent case. Ben Carson decided to take his piece.
He's the one that baffles everybody. Nobody can figure out what is the appeal, other than he seems like a nice guy.
There's probably a lot of people in this show who like Dr. Carson, but...
they can call in. I'd love to hear it.
I'm sure they would love to. Here's my question. The poll, 23% polling for Donald Trump, and that's what he's trending at.
Yeah.
That means 70-some percent do not support him.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that when the next three people drop out, now, who's your money who's dropping out next?
People like Huckabee and probably even...
Rand Paul.
Rand Paul seems to be in real trouble. Chris Christie. Bush and Rubio would hang around a bit longer. I think Carly Fiorina is actually the most likely a front runner after Trump.
Think so?
Yes, because I think the whole Republican voter bloc wants some kind of an outsider. I mean, they like what she's talking about, and they like the idea of a woman, and they'd love to beat the Democrats
with the woman.
With the woman.
Yep.
With their, and you know, so I think, you know, with all of her business chops, some of which can be called into question, you know, she fills a lot of she checks off a lot of the points that makes her interesting.
Do you think Jeb's done?
No,
I don't either.
You never vote against the Bushes. They've got the best long-term entrenched, established, you know, candidate machine in the game right now. Second to the Clintons, of course.
Well, and let's look at that a second. So we have, and we'll talk about other things today too. This is not a politics show, but this is a media show.
It's media.
Trump and Bernie Sanders. They are getting a lot of the, and I'll say positive media attention. Trump has stepped on a few landmines, and it hasn't affected him. Other politicians, I think, would say the same things, and because they're part of the establishment, either they will go back and apologize and buckle back, and they'd spend.
He doesn't do that.
He's not going to do it.
No.
I mean, Romney, every time he found himself in a controversial statement, he was sort of, he'd go on the apology tour, and I think that some Republicans and some other people would have suggested, why are you apologizing to a media that's not friendly to you? I know you disagree with that, but in the same case, Bernie Sanders and Trump seem to be getting the most traction right now because they are not mainstream political party balloons candidates. Is this going to last?
No, I don't see either one of them in the end next November on the ticket. But the in terms of the media thing, you know, with Romney, to compare Romney and Trump, Romney... you know, Romney was just one of those characters who never quite seemed settled on any position.
Right.
You know, I mean, he could get kind of knocked off his game by some level of criticism, and then he'd be, you know, doing his tap dance thing.
Right.
That ain't Trump's game. I mean, this is a practice, highly practiced form of self-assurance. And he just says, you're wrong, you're a loser. And we're moving on. It's going to be great from here on out. He does not get rattled. And your and my mutual friend, Jason Lewis, soon to be running for Congress, right. I guess, you know, had a good point when I was talking to him, is that, you know, among all these characters, Trump is the one that just doesn't need this job.
Right.
Hey, if it works out, great. If it doesn't, he'll go back to being Donald Trump, even bigger than he was before.
I think the Republicans right now are not scared of the media as much as they're scared about Donald Trump right now.
Sure they are,
A Donald Trump tweet, I saw him on The Factor. I was, you know, happened to be at a place where there's a few monitors. I don't watch this show, of course, but they happened to be on. He must have forgiven Fox News now. He's back on doing Fox News shows.
Yeah, they kiss and make up pretty regularly and then fight again.
It's fascinating. This is presidential politics in 2015. And do you think...
By the way, anybody also in media, there was the New York Times Magazine had a terrific story on Trump last Sunday. A guy named Mark Leibovich, who also wrote a great book, essentially on the same topic called This Town, which is all about how, you know, the sort of culture of celebrity and, you know, everybody's in it to make a buck, whether it's the media in D.C. or the politicians in D.C. or the lobbyists in D.C. You know, it's a self-feeding wheel that goes round and round. And he says you can really see it at play with Trump. And Trump gave him incredible access, flying with him on his plane all over the country in the limos and stuff. And he's making the point that, you know, Trump would do this. You know, there's no way in hell that you would ever get that access, a reporter of any kind, with Hillary Clinton.
No,
which is part of the this discomfort I think that a lot of people have with politicians. It's so canned up, it's so, you know, practiced, that they don't feel like there's any spontaneity or reality to these characters. And Trump, oddly enough, seems real and, you know.
And do you think that Joe's going to get in? I think he's not.
No.
I don't think he's getting in, but he's being pretty coy about it. And I'm wondering why.
I don't know why, but I mean, he isn't kind of an older fellow. Everybody's old. I mean, even Trump's 69, and which is kind of amazing. You think that there'd
we'd go? I mean, Barack Obama was born in 1960, 61, and we're
kind of backwards.
Backwards.
And no, I don't. I think once Biden looks at it, you know, it's just
It's too tough to organize a campaign to be able to make it for the caucuses in January, I think.
Yeah, that's part of it. And he'd be tapping a lot of the you know, donor base that Hillary's already into, creating a little, you know, firefights all over the country for that kind of stuff.
Are the power brokers buckling though? Are they the ones that are
I don't think so. In fact, if they were reading it and if they agree with my thinking that Carly Fiorina is in the best position right now, that would kind of solidify Hillary's position with the Democrats. You'd say, well, she's a flawed candidate. She's not all excited. We've been, she's so familiar. It's like she's already been president before. We're running for it again. The liberals and the Democrats, you know, and you always hasten to, you know, you're reluctant to call Hillary a liberal. But, you know, the Democrats, they want a woman this time around. They figure it's they've all learned this. And with a Fiorina candidacy, they damn well going to have a woman, and that'd be Hillary. And again, it's like the Bush machine. The Clinton machine is just as big, just as effective, and there's the money right there.
And let's, I guess it's Brian Lambert, let's take the right or wrongness of the email thing aside for a second. We can debate that offline, okay, of the whole email piece. The way that Hillary has responded to the email piece, is that hurt her? Because I think that she thought this was going to go away. And,
I think... You know, I mean, her issue, I think it's the Clinton thing. They do have a certain level of paranoia about all their enemies dipping into all their business and trying to find something, which is not unfounded. And the way she's responded, to answer your question, is what bugs people, because, you know, it looks like she's giving you a half of the story, a half the truth. It comes out in little driblets, and then it's, oh, by the way, oh, then there's this and there's that. So it looks bad, but I think is partly because of a well-played, persistent strategy on the opposition. Mm-hmm. I mean, they keep pushing at this stuff, and by the sound of the criticism they're making of it, you would think there is something enormously volatile and dangerous in these emails. And when people still are like, well, what's here? I mean, what do we got? They've released thousands now. Where is the giving secrets away to Vladimir Putin? Or what are we really upset about here?
Well, here's a couple things. So the New York
Times. It's a process thing. But as was the Travelgate stuff, as was Whitewater, as, you know, I mean, again, this is part of the Clinton fatigue. It's like, oh, my God, do we have to go through all this again?
The ironic thing about the email thing was she tried to protect these emails, and now the way she did it, now it's everywhere now. Now people are pulling up emails from her TV viewing habits or her Starbucks orders. And
but essentially that's what's in them. You'd think with all this people combing through this stuff, they'd found something hot and interesting.
I heard National Review found some good stuff.
Did they? Yeah. I urged them to publish it. Please, I haven't heard any good stuff.
They're waiting until October 31st.
Okay, all right, yeah, October surprise. Yeah.
Let's take a break. We'll come back with Brian Lambert on MinPost.com. MinPost, are you the media critic? The media, what's
yes,
the,
I am.
The media critic.
My God.
And now we'll be being critical of Flashback Twin Cities after this break.
If you're going to serve walleye to Minnesotans, it's got to be good. The Tavern on Grand has been serving world-famous walleye since 1990. Come in for our classic walleye basket, walleye sandwich, or one filet dinner. Or try our WBLT. What does the W stand for? Walleye. What else? We make that filet to your liking. Grilled, fried, or blackened, and pair it with applewood smoked bacon, lettuce, tomato, mayo, on toasted wheat or white bread. We are located at 656 Grand Avenue, just a half a block west of Dale and St. Paul. We are open 11 a.m. till 2 a.m. daily. The Tavern on Grand, famous for walleye.
For over 75 years, GEICO's been about consistency, as in we've consistently helped people save money on their car insurance. And to prove it, we'll air one of our first radio commercials from over 75 years ago.
At GEICO, we're all about consistency, as in we consistently help people save money on their car insurance. To prove it, you can call GEICO. Call us today, call us tomorrow, call us 75 years from now.
That was way more consistent than I expected.
GEICO, saving people money for over 75 years.
Do you want to secure your future health and well-being? Then join Richard Lett, CEO of LeClaire Group in Woodbury, for Health Insurance Matters. This Saturday's Health Insurance Matters focuses on today's long-term care options. Topics include home health, assisted living, long-term care insurance, and other ways to ensure your financial and physical well-being for the rest of your life. Remember to call in with questions. Special guests include Cindy Ross from Bright Star Care and Rob Schultz from Transamerica. It's Health Insurance Matters this Saturday at 2 on KLBB.
Here's Steven, a patient at Health Source of Stillwater.
Hello, my name is Steven. I'm actually right here from Stillwater, Minnesota. It's been about a year now since I've seen Dr. Matt, and in that year, I have overcome my fear of re-injuring my back. I've injured my back about 4 times, straining my muscles. I've seen 2 other chiropractors in the past, and I've actually injured my back while seeing one of them. Dr. Matt noticed that that was my concern right away, and he said, not to worry, we'll take baby steps, and to this day, I have not injured my back.
Health Source of Stillwater. Do you Health Source?
We'll be right back.
Flashback Twin Cities, Tom Osmond here with our guest, Brian Lambert of MinPost.com. Brian, that's where I wanted to dig up, and we haven't been able to talk about this in a while. The Norwood Teague story, this fascinated me, too. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like that kind of came, and now it's dead again. But I want to talk, get your take mm-hmm. on this. Norwood had, the day this came out, the president of U of M says he was overserved.
Yeah, right.
Did he not have a media guy, you know, at his side to say, you might not want to blame the servers
before you
come up with this? Okay.
Yeah.
Then you dig a little bit further, and it turns out that, this stuff has been known for a while. He even had a little issue over his previous
mm-hmm.
employer.
Mm-hmm.
We had a sports reporter of the Star Tribune that had an unfortunate interaction with him, and they pretty much said, well, what do you want us to do? We'll document it, but if you want access to these you know, the sports facilities, you might want to...
By they saying, what do you mean? The University of the Star Tribune.
Star Tribune.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. How did this all happen in 2015? How did this...
Well, you know, of course, you still got the crowd in Atlanta who supposedly vetted, you know, was going down the list of candidates, and they vetted Norwood Teague.
They also vetted
the
Tim Brewster.
Yeah. And they were paid $125,000. And the part I always loved in that story was that this Atlanta, for $125,000, you figure, well, they're going to do some footwork, you know, some of their own independent work, maybe make some extra phone calls,
right,
you know, on their own bill. Much less go to places and talk to people. Apparently, the bulk of the vetting was a questionnaire they sent to Teague himself that he kind of filled out about his past and things. You know, so the university not too happy with this crowd in Atlanta who are, you know, university, you know, executive headhunter types and want some money back. But you know, the story was really was pretty interesting. I've done a story profile on Eric Kaler when he first arrived. He's the president of the university,
mm-hmm.
and I've talked to him since. And you know, not over this thing, but you know, he seemed like a decent, obviously smart guy. He's a chemical engineer,
right?
Kind of, you know, he's sort of facts come matter. Mm-hmm. You know, this is the stuff that we're on, and. You know, you watch him, you know, getting into stuff like the over-serving comment or just this kind of, and there's this famous Dan Markinson case with the psychology department,
yes,
with the kid that was being treated with drugs and commit suicide on their watch. And, you know, the issue I think there for Kaler is just that is he savvy and almost cynical enough,
mm-hmm.
to really be doubting and be suspicious of the characters that he needs to doubt and be suspicious of, like the boosters for the sports community, mm-hmm. who pull in a lot of money, and you know, the with the psychology thing, you got all sorts of pharmaceutical money coming around, professors who are you know, getting their, you know, taste of that stuff, and they put up defense walls. You know, you got to have a kind of a dark view of humanity, I think, to manage some of this stuff effectively. And I just kind of wonder if he's got that, because otherwise he seems like a decent, smart person.
Well, we're not talking about you fudged the expense report. We're not talking about mm-hmm. that, you know, some, you know, one hiring irregularly, which anyone can get involved in, and it's one position against another position. But it seems like a Google search, okay, and I will charge $1,000, okay,
yeah.
$1,000 to do a Google search.
Not $125,000.
No, I'm going to give him a bargain rate.
Okay.
I will, you know,
even
coaches.
If you worked at 10% of it, you'd be making a little bit more time.
Find your coaches. I'll find your left AD. CCO did a story that same week about the bills he was running up at these events, and I thought, well, what's the story here? There's no story of that. We knew that's going on. He's going out to impress people and.
Well, of course, that would shock no one,
right,
that they're spending huge amounts of money whining and dining. You know, it's like, oh my God! I mean, sports in college. This is a whole other topic.
Well, it's a good thing they're offering up a winning champion, you know, team.
The Rose Bowl this year,
right? Yeah.
But you know, on the other end of the media thing of that story was the Star Tribune's version of this thing. And one of the things that you know, really bothered me and some other people was that. You know, and the timeline is important here. This Amelia Reno, who was the reporter who was getting pawed by Teague, and first off, this kind of border-level harassment, flirting thing goes on for weeks. you know, which, you know, if you're a woman in sports, I think you say, well, it sort of comes with the territory. You're going to get hit on by some of these guys, and, you know, you have to deal with it. But then it goes way over the line with Teague. But she tells the paper about it, and what does the paper do? That's my interest, the part I find interesting, because, you know, she could only have told them, you know, that the other stories that she had heard about this guy and what went on. And what he did with her, you know, wasn't exactly... It was borderline assault. Are we still there? Okay. Time for a break.
Oh, we're back. Okay.
Oh, we're back. Okay.
Yeah. You didn't even get to the, you know, your usual, you know, opinions here, and they cut you off.
I know, my God. The level of censorship. Anyway, to wrap that point up, yep. You know, it seemed to me that the Star Tribune had an obligation to pick up the phone and call Eric Kaler and say, listen, this Teague guy you got over there, we've heard stories about him for quite some time. Now we have proof he pawed one of our own reporters. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do about it? I mean, this is a story. And the Star Tribune, I've asked him point blank, did you make that call? What did you say about it? Mm-hmm. And their response back is, we have no further comment on this matter. And, you know, privately, of course, you know, there are people that say, look, it's all legaled up. Mm-hmm. You know, our attorneys say, don't say anything more. Well, great, but you're a major journalistic public institution. I mean, you, as a newspaper, I mean, you would help your reputation if you held yourself to a higher standard than just a normal corporation. So
the same organization that wants to call people and get comment, and they're
exactly
not,
and they'll complain, you know, loudly, right, anytime, you know, somebody in government doesn't return their call or, you know, starts stonewalling them. So
do you think athletics in general, let's look at the U of M situation, and this is not near as bad as, say, the Penn State issue a few years back. Do you think, or even what Chris Cooley was charging the Vikings were doing, is athletics from the last places that, what do you want to call it, ethics and has not penetrated yet? And now we're at the point now where even these good old boy organizations, now they're having to be held at the same, I guess, the same business ethics that corporations now have had to do the last 25, 30 years, the same kind of transparency. Do you think this is changing now, or do you think it's still going on and it's going to be guarded?
Well, I think it's still going on. You know, maybe it's changing. I mean, there's more people who, you read about people who are arguing that, you know, this culture is kind of diseased. But, you know, sports in every culture, the United States is no different, you know, has a unique emotional place with the public.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just shareholders in some company who are kind of worried about being embarrassed by the hanky-panky of their major officers. And, the investment that the average person has in sports is not a rational thing. They very deeply, a lot of them very deeply identify themselves with their sports team and yada, yada, yada. Hence the willingness to go along with the billion-dollar stadium, largely out of taxpayer money. You know, and, you know, as long as that exists, which I think will be for a very long time, you can sweep this stuff away. The kid down at Florida State, Jameis Winston, is now in the NFL, he has a huge contract, drafted number one or two, I forget. You know, his rap sheet is pretty disgusting. And by all appearances, had some rather adroit legal help to help him skate around it.
Some of those strange bedfellows come the right and left when it comes to sports financing and stadiums. And this Vikings mascot story that popped up. Now, what's this guy's name again?
Ragnar.
Okay, because we actually have Hub Meads on next week. We have Hub on next week.
Really?
We have
All
Hub
right.
on next week.
Okay.
Reading the comments, which I love reading the comments, and I used to comment more than I do now, but yeah. I read some comments.
The Star Tribune, or the newspapers.
You know, Min Post, Star Tribune.
Yeah.
The Rake. You know, you just take a tip where I comment. But let's take a step back here. Ragnar wanted $20,000 per game. Okay. Per game. Okay. He was making $1,000 or $1,500 bucks a game.
Yeah.
I don't know who he thought that 200% pay hike. However, here's my take, though. the comments were, oh, he should do it for the love of the game. He should do it for the love of football. Yeah, yeah. I thought, are these the same people that
I think my line was, hey, pal, you get in the game for free.
Well, the same people that are defending that Will shouldn't pay a higher salary for this guy.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's fine. But the fan base automatically, again, to defend the Wilfs.
Yeah.
Aren't they, you know, yeah. they've had a few issues with finances.
They can afford it.
We gave them $1 billion. They're going to build some real estate down there.
Yeah.
I don't know. If people want them, I might be on Rangar's side. Well, give me a little bit more than $1,000.
Apparently, they didn't even want to negotiate.
I
saw him on TV, and he says, well, it was my opening offer. And their opening offer was goodbye.
But
they don't pay their cheerleaders anymore.
No, and that's the thing, too.
Which is kind of incredible. And these gals are putting in lots of time, makeup, yada, 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 the whole stick.
How much did Adrian Peterson make last year by not playing the game?
Oh, my God.
So I don't find it as sick or as wrong for cheerleaders or Rangar to get a raise when, granted, if you don't have players, you don't have a team, you don't have a game.
Yeah.
Some can make the debate. Someone can debate that, too. But when you're playing players $1 million per game to not play, well, I don't know. Maybe Rangar is worth a little bit more than he's getting.
Yeah, well, I mean, that was clearly his attitude. Is that they're throwing money around all over the place. They're putting 450,000 television sets into the new stadium. You know, so maybe if you just give me the cost of a couple of those extra per game, I mean,
that's two premium seats that he was that he was
seat licenses, yes,
right? Which we didn't know about.
Yeah.
But no, we're having Hub on next week, and Hub actually did an interview at Channel 11. He said, you know, his take was, and I'm going to let him speak for himself next week.
Yeah.
You should just do that because it's a great thing to do, and you go down there. But you know,
he should get paid.
He should get paid. Yeah, but when he was doing this 35 years ago, that family wasn't worth near the money that the Wilfs had.
No, the players weren't getting paid that either. You know?
No,
Fran Tarkenton wasn't getting that kind of money.
Players were selling cars on the off season
and
winning Super Bowls on the. You know, on the on-season.
No, I mean, it was farcical that Ragnar wanted $20,000 for this. You know, you think, geez, I was surprised they paid him $1,500. Knowing that they don't pay the cheerleaders anything, I thought it was maybe $100 and, you know, you get a free hot dog at halftime or something.
And of our Twin Cities media, which we adore here and we talk about and we're our friends because we actually need them to come and do this interview show here, he was the victim. So they had a picture of him watching the game from his.
I saw that. Yeah, his head bowed.
And everyone was sympathetic.
Yeah.
But 2 days later, when they realized what he was asking for, then the story got shoved back to the back of the right section.
It was Tribune. It was funny. I think the Philadelphia one of the mascots. I can't remember. If the Philly Fanatic. He's probably the most famous one in pro sports. But somebody got a line out of him where he was shocked. He said, "Man, what's that guy thinking?" It was like.
And what did Goldie, didn't he have some controversy this week, too? I just saw the headline. I didn't actually renew it. Did anyone catch that?
Goldie,
I think Goldie was doing some, Goldie had some controversy this week, too.
Really?
We'll have to pull it up the next break.
I hope he didn't have, like, a female gopher in the room after hours or something.
Bad subject of that organization right now. You've been doing these questions and answers with some media people, which I've been finding interesting. You interviewed, we played Jason Lewis audio here about a year and a half ago when he quit on air. Haven't heard from him since then. And you actually got to sit down and talk to him.
I actually was allowed to sit down and talk. After I bought him, I don't know, 3 beers at a happy hour. The guy has got a hollow leg. I hope you're listening, Jason.
I assume he's listening. Jason been in hiding, but he's...
Yeah, well, low profile. I don't know. I mean, he hadn't said much about it. And, you know, I mean, you and I have talked about it at different times. And it was just odd that he would so abruptly leave. He insists that there was no surprise to anybody he worked for.
Mm-hmm.
And that it was all shtick with his producer saying, Jason, hello, Jason. You know, nobody's there, you know. And they plan to do this, and he's still kind of guarding the real reasons for it, which I assume are money.
You mean that improvisation radio was not, that was staged?
Think about it. Nothing has shocked me more. And, you know, he seems to be, you know, happy enough playing golf. I'm sure he's made some good money over the years, But, you know, he's got some college tuition bills he's going to have to, he has to pay and all that kind of stuff. And, of course, his big gripe is that since he's not a public employee living off the fat of the taxpayers' largesse, you know, with a cushy pension that he's had to save, work and save all of his life, that he's out there on his own. And, of course, now I see that he's thinking running for Congress, which would give him into the line for a government pension.
But that's different, see, when they run for Congress, that's all for the right reasons.
I got to get a call back to him. I said, so, Jason, you know, I mean, how's this career politician thing going to be working for you? I mean, he's an interesting guy. I've always liked him personally.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, he's fun to talk to. He's got a good sense of humor. And, you know, I mean, we just fundamentally disagree on just about everything involving politics makes no difference. I mean, we kind of enjoy the back and forth. And it's kind of a shame that he's off the air, because I think his essential point was good, is that you have too many of these stations now who don't have local shows.
No.
I mean, it's all taped in from somewhere because it's cheaper for the big company. I don't think that's good. That isn't the essence of the communications.
I think where his show, I think, did wrong was when they went national, because he actually did he had a really well prepared show on local politics. I don't know any in town here that had one. Yeah. Now, you can disagree with his opinion, but he had guests on of all stripes. He debated. He argued.
Yeah. I was on the show a few times.
I remember that. It was always a very soft, warm conversation when he had you on. But he went national, and then he came. You know, there's the, you mentioned this in the article. There's the, we'll call it the blowhard national guys.
Yeah,
it's the same thing. You could write that down on a napkin and what they're going to say every day.
Right. And you know, the national consultants for the big radio syndicates, whether it's CBS or iHeartMedia now, formerly Clear Channel, would tell them exactly that. Stick to these talking points. Mm-hmm. Talk about it this way. Mention factors X, Y, and Z twice every hour in order to keep your audience worked up, active, and listening, because our advertisers make their, contribute to our wealth.
National radio. So we're a locally owned station here at KLDP.
Good, thank you.
But the national guys, the Cumuluses, the CBS, they're all broke right now, are they not? It seems like
The Cumulus, which owns KQRS here in town, Bernard's network, had a change of CEO leadership this past week. New gal coming in. She formerly ran Reader's Digest. That didn't go over well. But, I mean, there was something that she's really, her golden card is some allrecipes.com site or something that really went well. So anyway, that's why they're installing her there. But so I'm reading this stuff, and then I note that the stock price for Cumulus Media is 68 cents, and that's down like 30% since 68 cents.
The ironic part about Cumulus Media, and just to for those that are not radio geeks like I am, Cumulus is a big national operation. They are the ABC radio sold out to Citadel. Citadel went broke. They sold to Cumulus. Now Cumulus is going broke.
Well, they're hanging around. They're out of Atlanta, but
this is
sad.
Bargain price now. 68 cents a share.
Yeah. And in other media news, I mean, if we want to talk local, there was some interesting radio turnover. I just mentioned Tom Bernard, and apparently for the first time anybody can remember, the ratings are broken up into quarterly books. So the summer ratings period ended, and now those numbers are out, and Tom lost.
You're not going to get invited on the podcast anymore if you keep...
Well, I know, but I mean, which is unusual. I mean, every once in a while there'd be a month where somebody flipped by, but now among men 25-54, which is the group that he's in business for, he came in second to the K-Fan guys in the morning, which is a bit of a watershed moment.
Well, the K-Fan sales...
And that was the summer before football starts.
The K-Fan sales team has some good numbers to go sell some advertising with.
Yeah, plump up, they pay off even more iHeartMedia debt that way.
And Hubbard's buying more radio stations, it sounds like.
I don't understand it. I don't get it, but, Stanley's got the money to do it.
You know, at a certain point, it's you look at we'll call about the national stations, not our own KLDB, because we have Kyle here working the board. We got human beings here at the station. These national, how much more can you cut? To the Cumulus Radio that does probably three stations outside of an office out in Minneapolis, how much more human beings can you cut before you have satellite radio?
Well, Lewis was talking about, because he worked for Clear Channel, now iHeartMedia, and he and I overlapped. In fact, as I said in the article, when they brought him back, that was the end of my radio career.
I thought that was when I was a guest on your show. That was the end of it.
Yeah, But he, it was. They had two floors, beautiful offices, full of people, And now it's down to about half of one floor.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and that's to his point, that this stuff is all just mailed in from all over the country. KFAN, I mean, say what you will about yet another sports talk station, how much can anybody talk about football? But at least it's local.
Mm-hmm.
It is local talk, local hosts talking about, you know, local teams and all that stuff.
Well, Kimmel's tried a sports station in town, and Hubbard's trying it, too.
Yeah, not as much traction.
That's a lot of sports for this market, for a market that has a lot of sports teams, but not a lot of to talk about.
Yeah, well, yeah, right. You mean in terms of winning?
Well,
excitement of the game.
You can do a fishing show.
It's true. I mean, there is, and I don't know how many smaller stations are essentially all sports, but kind of off the radar. Nobody pays in terms of format.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably more religious stations in the Twin Cities Metro. That are just small, low-power signals and stuff all the way around the area.
You wrote in the Glean and Minpost this week, there's the FM signals are getting crowded right now. There's a lot of low-power FMs right now, daytimers popping up.
Did I write about this?
You did, yeah.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Yeah. I morning, noon, and night, I'm reading this, as everyone should. Yeah. Brian Lambert at Minpost.com. Yeah. Let's take our last break, and then we'll come back with Brian Lambert. We'll get some final thoughts on the media landscape.
Deep ones, too.
Deep ones, deep thoughts.
Enjoy this summer with a new vehicle from River Valley Ford of Baldwin. There's a fresh new look to the 2015 F-150 and Ford Edge, and we have them in stock and ready for a test drive. The all-new F-150 is the perfect choice for hauling the boat, camper, or trailer. The redesigned Ford Edge is perfect for your summer road trips. River Valley Ford wants to be your first choice for sales and service. Shop, compare, and find out why so many of your friends and family choose River Valley Ford of Baldwin.
At TIAA Crep, our record sounds like a broken record. We got impressive results in 2013. And 2014? Same thing. We're like, hey, weren't we just here? Then 2015, boom, more impressive results. That's the kind of record you'd expect from a company that's created to serve and built to perform. Intelligent investing, powerful results. Visit TIAA.org. TIAA Crep Individual and Institutional Services, LLC. Investing involves risk.
Club 1220 KLBB presents the Community Calendar. The American Red Cross is holding a blood drive today at the Ramsey County Library in Roseville. A benefit concert for the Grace Place Shelter is being held tonight at the Hudson House with music by Chris Hockey. Tickets are available at the Grace Place Shelter in New Richmond, at County Market in Hudson, and at the door. The Fall Colors Fine Arts Festival is going on today and Sunday at Stillwater's Lowell Park. See artists, take part in crafts demonstrations, enjoy live music. It's running today until 5. Visit StillwaterFallArtFair.com for more information. Take a walk to help youth advantage of Stillwater. Their annual 5K Stairs of Stillwater Walk is this Sunday. It starts at Pioneer Park at noon. There will be music and activities for children. To learn more, visit the website youthadvantage.org. If you have an item for the community calendar, send it to me, Jeff, at klbbradio.com.
Flashback Twin Cities, Tom Osmond with our guest, Brian Lambert. Now, Brian, we have tons of audience here listening right now to this conversation.
The phone lines are jammed.
But so. we have so much to talk about, we have to kind of hold the calls right now.
Yeah.
The Glean, tell those that may not read MinPost why they should read MinPost, minpost.com, MinPost.com.
Thank you.
What is The Glean?
The Glean is just my sort of collection of the most interesting stories to me.
I've noticed.
Each evening. I mean, I have my pet fascinations, but I do try. You try to get in, you know, three or four of the biggest stories that, you know, something related to Minnesota. It's either in, you know, the two daily newspapers somewhere outstate or on, you know, local TV or radio news, and then make a collection. And then after that, I always like a good fraud story,
mm-hmm.
and those always make it. You know, some idiot criminal story, that's always good stuff. And very sadly, we had a loss on the Glean, a regular Scott Walker, checked out of the race because I was watching daily Mr. Walker's progress or lack thereof in the campaign, and it, sadly he's gone. R.I.P. Mr. Walker.
When I saw Scott Walker at the presidential, look, we've got back to politics so soon. One thing I noticed at Scott Walker,
he didn't play well in media. Stanley Hubbard encouraged him to get TV help. You know,
he looked out of his league. And he looked at the camera, and I could tell there's just, he's, He's not doing that confidence thing that...
No, he's pretending. You look at him, I say, pal, you do not know what you're talking about. And I don't, you know, I mean, look at Mike Huckabee. I don't know if Mike does either, but he's selling it a lot better than you are. You know, so. Yeah,
you know, in terms of the big time, Huckabee and Walker, and, you know, you can disagree or agree with what their politics are. Huckabee's been on TV. He's been on radio. He's been governor. He was governor.
He's got a good shtick.
He's got his shtick. He knows what he's talking about. He knows how to work that camera. He knows to get the right press conference. Mm-hmm. He knows
the buttons to press him.
Walker is just he didn't have it. I think that he
there's a great flap going on. You know, the big conservative host out of Milwaukee, Charlie Sykes, has been going after Walker's ex campaign manager, a guy named Rick Wiley, Hammer and Tong, and of course, you know, the sort of Tea Party establishment is agreeing with Sykes, you know, that this was the problem, this Wiley, the way he ran the campaign, that was the problem. And Wiley, of course, was essentially saying, man, you know, the candidate just was not ready for the main stage. And it gets really tough once you take, you lift somebody who's got regional appeal, like Walker did, and you plop him up out front of all the national commotion. It's a whole different game. And you got to have different talents to succeed at it. But nobody wanted to hear that. I mean,
he kind of went to the quiet good night, and it's probably, and he's not
lasted really, less time than Tim Pawlenty. Yeah,
you know,
kind of amazing.
My take on Tim Pawlenty is, I think of Tim Pawlenty two things. And by the way, a lot of people do like Michelle Bachmann that listen to this show and the station. But if Michelle Bachmann had not run, I think Tim Pawlenty would have pulled better. I think had Tim Pawlenty stayed around a little bit longer, compared to the people that were campaigning against him at that time, they might have thought Tim might be all right. When he stands there against Kate Gingrich or what's her friend from Pennsylvania? I can't remember his name. He's still running for president, but he doesn't poll very high.
Santorum.
He's running again.
Yeah, no, he won't be around tomorrow. Well, but he will. See, he will last forever. But no, I mean, Pawlenty had the Walker problem. He played well in Minnesota. You know, he's this affable, you know, sort of character. But there was no fire. There was no unique shtick about it. And I think that's the complaint a lot of people have about what's going on now, is that there's way too much shtick. What do you really know? What are you really going to do? That stuff like that is secondary to, did you fire me up? Do I get a special, you know, hot and angry tingly in my stomach at the sight of you? What you say?
Does Jason Lewis, does he live in John Klein's district?
That's what I was wondering. He lives in Woodbury. Is that a slice of that? Is that the second district? I don't know.
I hope so, because, you know, I'm not a fan of that.
Huh?
I'm not a fan of that. No.
I thought you were big when Hillary moved to New York and came.
You've confused me with someone with a different name. No, that was when Alan Keyes moved to Illinois to run for Senate.
That's,
yeah,
it's
right.
That one.
Yeah,
I'm
right.
Sorry.
No. So we got DNC debate. There's two of them. People are going to fall asleep during it, probably. Is that on CNN or is that on Fun?
That's, who is doing that?
I think it's CNN, I think.
Yeah, I can't. I think it's the 28th and the Republicans come back with another one or something like that.
Which
is going to get pared down quite a bit.
Some good money for the networks.
Astonishing ratings.
I was in Virginia this summer, back in August. When I work for the mill, I have to go to some other work trips occasionally in the hotel. And I had, you know, you flip through the three movies that are terrible, and then there's CNN and Fox News.
Right.
Now, CNN had Cosby News all morning, noon, and night. That was all they had on.
Bill Cosby.
They had a scrolling ticker at the bottom of new allegations and new women. The Fox News had John McCain and Trump going back and forth all day long. That was during that period.
Okay.
I looked at, I think, before I had dinner, after I came back. This was what was on for hours. The two
on
cable
CNN.
And Fox.
Yeah.
Fox had Trump and McCain.
Yeah.
CNN had Cosby.
Yeah.
And the ticker at the bottom was great.
Yeah.
Remember when you had cable, when you first plugged that cable wire in, you had all this
news. Diversity. I got all sorts of stuff, yeah. CNN, you know, of course, this is Jeff Zucker, who runs the thing now, and his first success with Today Show, and he's brought that Today Show thinking. I mean, that kind of emotional stories and all that kind of stuff over to CNN. Their ratings are up this past time, nobody's going to tell him he's doing it wrong.
Well, if you're looking for some money, he's doing. I mean, to be honest, there's a guy who failed downward and just, you know, Jeff Zucker. He's the guy that did the Conan O'Brien fiasco at NBC, and he. Yeah, he took NBC was number one. I think they're number four still after he left them, and then he got a job at CNN.
You know, I mean, you can always point to, you know, somebody else, so that and he's He's a bit like Trump in that he is never wrong. There's never been a point where he's questioned his thinking, at least in public. You know, he would do the press mob scene thing and, you know, utter self-confidence.
So what's coming up? What's our next Q&A and then post? Who's next on the list?
Well, I don't know. I got some people. I want to do Stanley Hubbard. I think Stanley might be able to do it sometime after a while. And there's a gal who writes a very interesting blog, Sally Jo Sorensen, who lives out of state. This woman's, you know, inexhaustible, posts constantly. And often beats the local papers. So I like to talk to her, and I'd like to get Dan Barrero, to talk. But Dan is one of the toughest guys. You can never, talk about a cat on a hot tin roof. I mean, the thought of talking to the media paralyzes Dan, who otherwise is a great guy.
Are you liking the freedom of MinPost, the outside of the corporate interests of the paper right now?
You know, MinPost is fine. It's kind of a loose association. A lot of us, older, been doing this thing for a long time. They know, they just sort of trust us. You get your stuff in, and nobody's been sued or anything like that. I mean, we know where. But it's an interesting test in editor leadership, because there were a couple times back at the Pioneer Press where the editor would leave and there'd be months would go by. It was just an interim thing. But everybody on staff knows what their job is. And it ran just fine. That was always the impression. I said, we don't have any problems. I mean, what are we falling all over ourselves to bring somebody new in here to be sheriff?
Sometimes when you have an organization and one person leaves and they don't replace them for months, like, well, did we need them to begin with?
Apparently that question was never asked.
Yeah. Right. So. But MinPost every day, morning and afternoon editions, Brian Lambert. Also, you can check out Brian Lambert's media columns. And, are you on the radio right now? Are you doing other radio appearances?
At this moment, I'm on the radio, yes. I save all my best stuff for Flashback.
Well, I ask you for every once a year, so it's been a
I'm
year.
Happy.
Jesse Ventura was still in
litigation.
Are there
donuts today, by the way?
There are no donuts today, but Jesse Ventura was still in litigation last time you were here.
Is that long ago?
I have not asked you for a year.
Oh, okay.
And you were kind enough to come today on a last-minute notice, so appreciate that.
Traffic, my God.
Well, we like our road construction here. Kyle, we'll break here. We'll be back next Saturday here in Flashback Twin Cities on KLBB.